Welcome back to Logical, where we untangle the legal knots so that you don't have to. I'm Ludmila Malova, a U.S. qualified lawyer based in Dubai. In each episode, we break down complex law into clear, practical insights that you can actually understand and use. In this episode, we're diving into 2023 changes to the JAFSA offshore company regulations, and more specifically, the overhaul of Article 14, which governs what offshore companies can and cannot do in the UAE. So let's break it down. The Jebel Ali Free Zone Authority, or JAFSA, is one of the UAE's most prominent free zones, known for hosting major international companies. Why JAFSA matters? Well, JAFSA, those who have done business in the UAE would know and attest, is perhaps it is actually one of the oldest economic zones, one of the oldest and also most developed, and perhaps, at least by some accounts, more sophisticated by virtue of just having been around much longer. JAFSA is, again, Jebel Ali Free Zone, is attached to a Jebel Ali port. So that gives it a huge competitive advantage in terms of what services it can deliver to its member companies. So just by way of a simple example, if you are in shipping or trading and it involves any kind of importing or exporting of goods, you want to be close to the port. Well, JAFSA offshore, or JAFSA Economic Zone, is attached to the port, which obviously allows it to offer services for any kind of licensing or activities that would involve trading, shipping. And because of that, it kind of spills over into the warehouse activities as well, because in most cases, when something comes in from a ship, it needs to be stored somewhere. And vice versa, if something goes out on the ship, it needs to be stored. So you need to have warehouses. So JAFSA, if you want to just visually imagine what it looks like. It's an economic zone that's on the water or close to the water. It borders the water. Has a huge ship, actually, perhaps one of the world's biggest, oldest, most incredible, sophisticated ports in the world, and it has many warehouses. And in addition to corporate buildings where companies are based, so JAFSA, as an economic zone, is a very important business center in Dubai and in the UAE in general. Why I want to give a little bit of a background, why the background of JAFSA is relevant in particular in this context, is because unlike other economic zones in the UAE, and the UAE has many economic zones, and Dubai in and of itself has, I forget the latest count, they do kind of in some ways merge and diverge, so perhaps, 30 or so. But JAFSA, unlike any other economic zone in Dubai, it also has two types of activities. So it has onshore business activities and it has offshore business activities. And so onshore, it's basically any kind of companies that do business in the UAE and trade and have warehouses or provide logistics in shipping, trading, and so on and so forth. So that's the onshore type of businesses. So actually businesses that are licensed in the UAE, in particular in the JAFSA economic zone, and can do business within the UAE, among other places. But they're specifically licensed to do business in the UAE. And as part of it, they can do all sorts of services. They can hire employees. They've got obviously offices. They can trade directly and with other parties and companies within the UAE. They can have agreements, distribution agreements, supply agreements, and so on and so forth. So, but in addition to the onshore business, there is the offshore arm of JAFSA, which those who know the UAE would know enough about it and appreciate its value. And those who don't know this about the UAE might find this quite valuable. So in the simplest terms, JAFSA offshore it's an analogy or an equivalent or a sister concept to a BVI offshore or Cayman Islands offshore. However, those who know the offshore regime or legal regime would understand what an offshore company is. So JAFSA, in addition to its onshore businesses, also offers offshore licenses. Many outside of the UAE don't know that about the UAE and JAFSA in particular, and that's because JAFSA is known in the world as one of the largest ports. You know, very, very, very sophisticated and complex structures. So with in other words, high reputation. But the offshore part of the economic zone is not is much less known. Why it has recently in, you know, in the last years kind of gained more attention is because those who follow legal news, and if you recall the Panama Papers. So there's a lot of a backlash in the last 7 or 8, you know, 8 years about all these offshore regimes, offshore legal structures that are set up in the BVIs and Cayman Islands, in Belize, Mauritius and such, that offer companies these offshore structures that ultimately allow, among other things, to conceal the true ownership or the true beneficiaries of these companies, and otherwise are very secretive in the way that they're set up. So after the Panama Papers leaked out, those offshore zones, such as Cayman Islands, BVI, basically had like a black mark on them. So anything to do with BVI offshore, Cayman Islands offshore, banks did not want to deal with. A lot of companies around the world did not want to deal with. Any kind of basically company could be a legitimate company that's been around for many, many years, but if had the Jeff's BVI or Cayman Islands offshore license on it, just things shifted very quickly. Nobody really wanted to do business with them. Obviously, I'm exaggerating to an extent, but we did observe very much that that kind of new trend is that the push away from the offshores, primarily because of the reputation that was kind of a fallout from the Panama Papers. It's not to say, however, that having an offshore business does not have legitimate purpose. So obviously there were loads of companies that were set up back then in offshore jurisdictions and still set up today in the legitimate businesses, the legitimate structures. But because of the Panama Papers, basically anybody who was set up in those jurisdictions had this sort of a black mark on them and therefore suffered the consequences. But the JAFSA, and that's when JAFSA offshore component, or the offshore component of the JAFSA economic zone, gained perhaps a little more, I don't want to say notoriety, but at least more recognition and more utility, because it's an alternative, jurisdiction alternative structure to a Cayman Islands and BVI, so it has all the same benefits, but you are registered through an offshore agent, the same kind of general preferences or requirements that are attached to Cayman Islands or BVI offshore would also apply to JAFSA offshore. The big difference about JAFSA offshore is it didn't have the same kind of a black mark. It didn't have that kind of negative reputation as the other offshore zones, the previously more common offshore zones had. And that's because JAFSA, the name JAFSA, as I mentioned earlier, has legitimate reputation, because JAFSA, as an economic zone, does host one of the world's biggest ports, and therefore it has a reputation to match the quality of the port, the quality of services that it provides. So therefore, the JAFSA offshore component was not very well known, and certainly did not have the same reputation as, for example, Cayman Islands, that for the most part didn't really have any other services, and I'm exaggerating here to an extent, apart from setting up these offshore companies. Same thing with BVI. But JAFSA, it has actual presence actual businesses, big businesses, logistics, transportation, shipping, trading. So JAFSA, the offshore component of the economic zone, became a lot more interesting to those who either were moving away from Cayman Islands or BVI, or had to move away from those economic zones because they could no longer do business, found that JAFSA offshore was a convenient vehicle for them to adopt, either to switch to or to adopt anew. So that's the relevance of the JAFSA offshore, and this is why we're talking about it today. But because of the offshore, the definition of an offshore business in this kind of context. So what's an offshore company? So the company itself, as the word itself offshore suggests, does not have presence onshore. right? So the theory is that the company is based offshore, but it has representation onshore. And the representation happens not directly through the company, but through its agent. So in other words, when you open up a JAFSA offshore company or any offshore company, you, the owner, cannot do it directly. You have to go to an agent that's registered with that zone, economic zone, and do it through them. So on your mailbox and your mail and your address, it's the agent's address that's listed. And ultimately, your presence in this country exists through the agent, so vis-a-vis the agent. So that's how it's done in the more traditional, the classic offshore zones, such as BVI, Cayman Islands, and it was the same thing in the UAE, you know, in the JAFSA offshore zone. Build up on that from terms of the offshore concept of it. So because the company is based on offshore, so to speak, and exists in the UAE only vis-a-vis its agent, in terms of what it could do onshore is limited. Right, it was limited only to certain activities, and so historically, it was only limited to in the JAFSA offshore regulations, which obviously there's a whole set of regulations, and that's what we'll talk about in this episode today. And specifically, the regulations is kind of nuanced aspects of the regulations. So, the before the 2023 amendment, the latest version was 2018 version, and that was obviously an amendment to the previous regulations. But so JAFSA offshore has its own regulations, and those regulations at a high level were very prohibitive or very restrictive in terms of what companies that were registered under the JAFSA offshore umbrella could or could not do. So it was more about the JAFSA companies cannot do any of this except. And at a high level, what that meant is that you could set up a JAFSA offshore company here, but that company could not do business in the UAE. So what it could do, it could, for example, and this is why the structure was very popular in JAFSA and also in other offshore jurisdictions, because often they use as holding structures. So you could hold a company set up in JAFSA and it would be an offshore company, a JAFSA offshore company that would own a business or another license in Saudi Arabia, in Kuwait, in Oman, in Thailand, in India. So it's basically like it's like a mothership from the parent company that owned all the other branches. So that's what JAFSA offshore was often used for as a holding company. And that's because of restrictive aspects of an offshore business in general. And there were a few other specific kind of exceptions, such as it could do, own property in the UAE, but only in certain places, very restrictive, only in Dubai, and only in certain freehold areas. And it could actually become a shareholder in certain businesses. So, for example, there's a restaurant on the mainland that JAFSA offshore could become a shareholder in that company, but it could not direct. So it could basically receive dividends. It could invest and could receive dividends, but it could not directly deal with companies in the UAE. And that's again going back to its offshore presence. So it doesn't really legally exist in the UAE, and that's how things were before. So which meant that if you had an offshore company, JAFSA offshore company, then you could not buy directly from, you know, from, let's say, a supplier here. It could not sign contracts for business. There were some nuanced limitations or exceptions, such as you could hire lawyers, you know, for services. It could hire certain professionals to be able to help sort of maintain its legal structure here, but not to do business. So therefore, until 2023, that was the lay of the land. So the JAFSA offshore is one, a very popular and a very safe and reputable economic zone because of the JAFSA economic zone in general. It was very, in terms of the benefits and the facilities that it would offer, it was very similar to Cayman Islands BVI without the negative reputation. But it was restrictive in terms of what it could do. And therefore, for the most part, it was used as a holding structure and to own businesses outside of the UAE or to invest inside the UAE in specific businesses and also own properties in certain areas within the UAE. That's basically it. And also, it could actually have a bank account, but only in certain cases, and that also changed with time. However, the sort of the restrictive or prohibitive aspects of the JAFs offshore companies were set out early in the sort of the early version of Article 14 of the regulations. As per the old articles, just to kind of give you a tighter sort of example of how the article was structured, is that it was offshore companies basically were not allowed to conduct commercial activity inside the UAE. That's specifically stated in the article. Lease most types of property. It could not engage in regulated sectors like banking or insurance, or carry out any activity restricted by JAFSA. So basically, that's the whole language of the article is very restrictive. It just could not do anything, it could only basically be a holding company. So there's a lot of exceptions to what it could do, or a lot of restrictions to what it could do. And then there was a few, as I mentioned earlier, there were a few exceptions such as owning property and bank accounts and such. But otherwise, it basically can only served more like a legal structure, purpose of a legal structure. And that's why, by the way, our firm is also a JAFSA offshore agent. So I know and speak from experience. We've been registered with JAFSA since I think 2009. So we've managed a lot of these JAFSA offshore companies, and so we know from experience they are on the one side very popular. On the other side, they are quite restrictive in terms of what businesses could do. And we over the years we had so many clients that come to us, but we want to do that, and I'm like, well, you're very restricted. And so, and generally they could not, the company itself could not even rent a space because, again, it doesn't sort of physically or exist in the UAE. It can only exist through its agent. And so, but once you set up a holding company, there's so many other sort of natural extensions that appear in terms of what that company may want to do in terms of its investment and business aspirations. So naturally, this is why so many of our clients over the years would come and say, well, but can we enter into this contract? But can we do this? Can we, for example, buy receivables? Can we sell receivables? Can we, for example, rent a space somewhere? Can we hire employees? And basically the answer to all that was no. So because, again, the company does not exist onshore, you could not even hire employees. So that was also, you could not get a visa as an offshore shareholder. So if you were even a shareholder or a manager of an offshore company, you could not get a residence visa and you could not hire employees. So in 2023, however, sort of kind of quietly, things have changed. The regulations were changed and they were not really sort of talked about very much. And this is hence we're doing this podcast today. And I just want to break it down because I think it is an important issue and an important change that might be of relevance and interest to many, to those in particular who have JAFSA offshores and perhaps those who did not know about it or did not know how much more permissible it is now. So let me kind of delve into that. So the regulations came out in 2023 and they basically changed the previous regulations 2018, but in kind of sort of slight ways. But one notable exception was to this Article 14, and that's Article 14 now, 14.1, which states verbatim, an offshore company shall be permitted to conduct lawful business activities as permitted by the registrar from time to time. That's it. So that's basically now the definition of what an offshore company can do in terms of its licensing activities. So basically, in simple terms, it can do anything that's lawful within the UAE, right? So that's within the UAE, and it's basically that's allowed by the economic zone where it's based. You see the difference between the old version where it was all about what it cannot do. So it was drafted very prohibitively. So it could not own properties except it could not do any kind of business except it could not hire employees. It could not directly contract with companies within the UAE and so on and so forth. So now, as per 2023 amendments, now it basically can do anything that is lawful in this country and as permitted by basically the economic zone that it being JAFSA. That's a pretty big change. So, and in simple terms, what that means now. Peers, that you can, the companies now, Jeff's offshore companies should be able to basically contract directly, not just for professional services like for lawyers and accountants, as was the case before, but they can now directly enter with the distribution agreements. They can supply goods or services. They can buy directly goods and services, and ultimately, otherwise, can basically do business within the UAE as long as it's permitted by JAFSA Economic Zone. And those who are familiar with JAFSA Economic Zone, it's a pretty expansive list of services and activities that are permitted to be conducted in JAFSA. So in other words, now the having a JAFSA offshore company gives you a much more expanded business presence if you wanted to use your JAFSA vehicle for that reason. So just kind of at a high level, just give you perhaps a visual in terms of the type of activities and that were allowed or disallowed under the 2018 regulations versus 2023 regulations. So, for example, business activity in the UAE under 2018 was not allowed and basically prohibited. Under 2023, it's permitted. So think about the difference between prohibited versus permitted. But permitted, obviously, with approvals and licensing, which applies to any other onshore business in the UAE. Now, leasing of properties, that is, like, let's say you wanted to rent an office, was not allowed. Now it's permitted in certain designated areas. And then owning property previously was basically you could only own in Dubai and in certain areas and kind of expanded a little bit over time. Now it's basically permitted. Financial services, that was clearly spelled out as restricted, as prohibited. Now it's still sort of generally prohibited, but it can be allowed if it's properly licensed. In other words, now you can conduct financial services out of, for example, JAFSA, even offshore, if it is properly licensed as financial services. So that's obviously a different different set of requirements to be licensed in financial services, but previously it was just basically a blanket prohibition. Now, in theory, you could even have a financial services activity out of an offshore license, but you would have to get the proper approvals from the financial authorities. And then dealing with professional services was allowed under 2018, and it's still allowed under the current regulations. And similar with bank accounts, first they were allowed, it was Jeff's offshores were allowed to have bank accounts. Then it became very, very difficult, if not impossible, to open bank accounts. And I imagine that now under the new regulations, it will become a lot easier to open bank accounts because banks want to see sort of presence in the UAE. And that was also the reason for banks' resistance to open bank accounts for offshore entities, because they wanted, for their own compliance reasons, they wanted to have some substance and presence in the UAE, which if you're an offshore entity, is difficult to establish. But so now, presumably with these changes, it will be easier for banks to justify opening a bank account, because these companies, at least if not now, if many don't know about this yet or have not utilized this new legal structure, will be in the future. They'll have more presence and more substance in the UAE, including, for example, renting an office space. So they could rent an office space. And then if you have an office space, then you can now start doing contracts with entities in the UAE. Then now you have, in the context having substance in the UAE, then now you have documents to prove it, that you have an office, you have these contracts that are signed with entities in the UAE, and all of that is now, as per the new regulations, is no longer prohibited. So in the past, you only had to go through your offshore agents, which are usually lawyers, law firms like mine, or accounting firms and other sort of business consultancies. And so you didn't, as a company, you didn't really have your own substance and physical substance in terms of having an office space. Well, so now You can. You can rent your own office space, and then presumably you can now also hire employees, although you cannot sponsor them under JAFSA. But as we now know, the golden visas and so many other types of visas that exist today where employees can be sponsored or self-sponsored under their own golden visas or sponsored by their family members. So it's no longer required to just be sponsored by the entity where you work. So you could physically have actually an office. JAFSA Offshore could rent a physical office and could theoretically also have employees. So those are some of the big kind of high level differences that are notable and important to highlight, because it wasn't really kind of discussed very much. At a high level, so why this matters is because this changes, this change opens the door to more flexible business models. So now, in addition to having holding companies that can manage investments across different jurisdictions, you can have investment vehicles. You can use JAFSA Offshore as an investment vehicle for local or regional projects. It doesn't have to just now be exclusively focused on the on foreign projects, which was before. So now it could also be investing much more substantively within the UAE. And you can have lightweight sort of presence in the UAE without full onshore operations, but more or less you could have physical presence, like it should office employees and do some kind of lightweight business activities. And you can also be used as a sort of real estate holding structure for properties in all the freehold areas around the UAE. So obviously there's still limitations, but these limitations apply to all other businesses in the UAE. You need to be properly registered, so you need to have registrar's approval. You need to be, you have to license to make sure the activities still fall within the license that's mentioned on your license. And you still need to go through the JAFSA registered agent. So that, by the way, that requirement remains. So if you wanted to open a JAFSA offshore today, or if you wanted to do more business through your JAFSA for your JAFSA offshore today, you still need to be registered through your offshore agent. And your official legal sort of presence will still be linked to your offshore agent. But now, in addition to that, you can have much more of your own physical and actual presence as well. That being said, compliance still matters. As we know, the UAE continues to enhance its compliance protocols and enforce and monitor very strictly. So even with this regulatory shift, compliance remains key. Always, especially in sensitive sectors like finance, education, or media. The activities that you undertake may require licensing from other UAE authorities, even beyond JAFSA. So, for example, if you want to do insurance, which was previously specifically restricted or disallowed, now if you get permits from the relevant authorities that otherwise license insurance businesses, theoretically you can also have insurance activities and other type of financial activities with the right approvals. But as I mentioned before, just kind of as a part thought. So the presence and the role of offshore agents still remains, and that will always be the case. By the way, one more thing I wanted to add is that historically, and that's perhaps in the last 7 years or so, JAFSA offshores have also been used, the vehicles, for owning intellectual property or IP. So that's also been quite a sort of popular objective or popular vehicle for ownership of intellectual property. So that is just another example that anyone who sets up a JAFSA offshore, that's a convenient vehicle to put all of their IP. So they could be doing business in the UAE and they could be doing business elsewhere, but the offshore legal structure is a very convenient tool to put all your IP, register all your IP to that entity, so that it becomes isolated and removed from your actual legal entities which do business, which it's a separate topic, but which ultimately will protect your IP from your active business entity. So, for example, if there's a court case that's filed against any of your active business concerns, then at least your IP is isolated from your, you know, from your businesses. So that's another reason why Jeff's offshore entities have been popular and continue to gain popularity. So final thoughts in the 2023 amendments to JAFSA offshore regulations, particularly Article 14, mark a measured practical evolution in the UAE's corporate environment. They offer more opportunity, more flexibility, and more relevance for companies looking to use the JAFSA offshore structure. But they also come with more responsibility to structure carefully, license properly, and comply consistently. That's it for today's episode of Logical with Ludmila. If you found this episode useful and you like what we do, you can always find more on our website, and that is lylawyers.com. We're also on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And for the full experience, you can watch our video podcast on YouTube. Until next time, stay informed, stay safe, and keep things logical.